Better get your side alignment, windage and elevation, all the rest of it. How you doing, Mikey? Good to have everybody that's here. Amen. We're going to pick up where we left off last week, wade on out into the deep, and trust the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth as He promised that He would. Father, in Thy name we pray, and we ask Thee to give me the gift of teaching. Give me wisdom and understanding in Your Word. And our Father, give the folks ears to hear and receive. Father, let it fall upon good ground and bring forth fruit in due time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, last week we started talking about the New Age movement. And I'm going to refresh your memory just a little bit because there's been an enormous amount of information that I've been giving out in here. And there's no way under the sun, if it's new information for you, that you can retain all of it. The stuff I go through time and again. But let me read a quote or a little article for Berit Kjos, if I pronounce her name correctly, K-J-O-S. She's a Norwegian Christian, a true believer in the Lord Jesus. She has a wonderful website called crossroads.com, I think it is. If you'd like to get on the website, it's got a lot of information. It'll give you links to other websites that would be very helpful for you. And you'll bypass a lot of garbage if you'll just simply go to one like that. But in any event, here's what she says. She says, America's pastor, Rick Warren, gives a similar twist to the uncompromising scriptures, dismissing the biblical foundation for our relationship with Jesus. Now listen carefully to what I'm saying. He cheered his UN audience and CNN listeners with these false assurances. Quote, you may be Catholic or Protestant or Buddhist or Baptist or Muslim or Mormon or Jewish or Jain, J-A-I-N, Jainism, or you have no religion at all. I'm not interested in your religious background because God did not create the universe for us to have religion. He came for us to have a relationship with Him. I have known many people who believe in the Messiah of Jesus, regardless of what religion they are, because they believe in Him. It's about a relationship, not a religion. So if they are not Christians, then He is saying, if I understand and can interpret this correctly, He is saying that they call Him by a different name in another religion. So regardless of what name, for example, the Muslim looks for the coming of the Mahdi, and that's their Messiah. So, and if I understand correctly by his interpretation here, that means that they are, though they call him the Mahdi, they're looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. And therefore, he says all religions, essentially, regardless of which one it is, if you have a sincere, earnest desire to know God or what you do know about God, then it's okay. It's not okay. The Apostle Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Now, you're going to hear a lesson this morning that is absolutely anti-politically correct. And I despise political correctness. I really do. And the more I see it practiced in our society, the more it becomes prevalent. I despise it. I abhor it. It is a mind-rotting, godless creation, and I have no use for it. I have no use for it, and I will not conform to it. Amen. I will preach the truth of God's Word. It will not be a relevant truth. It will be the absolute truth. Amen. That the book that I preach is the absolute judge of anybody's religion or government or monarchy or whatever it is on the face of this earth. The Bible is the judge of it. That's not relative truth. That's absolute truth. It's not your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth, his truth is his truth. That's relativism. That's political correctness. That has preached from the pulpits constantly. They may not say it that way, but they present it that fashion. But in any event, we went to Jeremiah chapter number 10 and verse 2 last week and talked about how the heathen were dismayed with the signs of the seasons, with the signs of the heavens. And in Jeremiah chapter number 10, The prophet says this, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Be not dismayed at the signs of the heaven, of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them. They are puzzled by them. Try to find a meaning in them. Make an application to them." Once you leave the revelation of God, you're left to your own light. Once you leave the revelation of the Word of God, you're left to whatever sparks you can create. And one of the prophets in the Old Testament mocked them by saying, "You follow the sparks now that you've created since you've left the Word." To paraphrase him. Not quoting verbatim, but that's essentially what he said. He said, "All right, you've turned from the truth, you've turned from the Word of God, you've turned from the light. Now follow the light that you can create." And that's what America is doing. They're following the light that they can create. If you reject the truth of the Word of God. And when I say America, I'm talking about those who rejected the truth. I'm not talking about all Americans. I'm talking about those in this country, as they have in the rest of the world, who've rejected the truth. And we talked about the age of Aquarius, how that we have, according to astrology, entered into the age of Aquarius, and that for a period of about 2,100 years, each one of these ages runs its course. Now we are in Aquarius. The age that immediately preceded this one was Pisces. The one before that was Aries, Taurus, and Gemini, going back to a 2,000-year period of time back into the past. There is no question that it is a astronomical fact, not astrological, astronomical fact, that there is such a thing called the precession of the equinoxes. That does happen. That's physical. And that's a thing that you have to, that's observable. So, you know. But we do not place a mystical, occultic meaning to it. What we do is take what does the Bible say? What does Scripture address when it addresses this issue? So we are in a different age. There's no question in my mind about it whatsoever that the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience is the spirit of rebellion, as it always has been, but it manifests itself now in these last few years in a spirit of super spirituality for everybody. Whether you ever darken a church door or not, everybody's super spiritual. And political correctness has fed that. Political correctness feeds the idea that you have your truth, I have my truth, he has his truth. So therefore, if that's good for you, then that's good for you. If this is good for me, this is good for me. But don't judge me by your truth. And so therefore, this is the prime, it is the perfect field for the New Age movement, the Age of Aquarius, to get its disciples. Because people today will go to one church for a while, pick up something they like, go to another church for a while, pick up something they like, go over here for a while, get this, go there for a while and get that. In other words, it's like going to a cafeteria line. Whatever my spirituality feeds, this is what I want. Because I am unique because I'm diverse. Yeah. This is the kind of country that worships diversity. Right. See? Right. Before it was not diversity, before we were a melting pot. When people came to America, they became an American. Right. See?
Yeah.
Now we have two languages spoken in this country, and Lord only knows what will happen. But when you become an American, you learn English.
Right.
Because it's the language of the country, see? So therefore, in other words, we open our doors to anyone from anywhere on the face of the earth. Immigrants have come from all four corners of the earth and have become Americans because it's a melting pot. I don't want to get into a whole lot of thing on this, but that was the social philosophy of this country. Well, now that's changed. Now everybody maintains their individuality, and everybody talks about how wonderful it is to be such an individual. See, all right, and this individuality goes out into the churches today. They go to this church, they go to that church, this church, that church, and they just borrow and build their own spiritual identity. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's no longer a matter that I'm a Baptist and I'm an Orthodox Baptist and I believe the Bible and I believe the doctrines that are important from Scripture. I believe that salvation is by grace through faith. No, it's not that anymore. You can go from one church to the next church that is entirely different and feel comfortable because it's about your spirituality. You worship that. You brag on how wonderful it is that I have developed my spirituality. And this is the kind of thing that people are dealing with. This is what pastors deal with today, especially those who don't preach the Bible.
Amen.
And this is the kind of thing they've built. Instead of preaching the truth, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Doctrine is the thing that keeps you right. It's your compass.
Right.
It's your guide. It's the system. When an airplane without anything to guide it by, all you're left is with what you can see on the ground. It works fine by dead reckoning if you can follow the ground and so forth. What happens if you can't see the ground? Then you better have some instruments in there. All right. Sometimes you can't see about you, but you do have something in your hand right here. That's a guide. But anyway, the New Age movement, the hippie movement, all brought in peace, love, unity, prosperity, universalism, peace, love, unity, prosperity, peace, love, unity, prosperity, and so forth and so on, passed off into the sexual revolution. And the sexual revolution today presents us with 1 in 4 young ladies, 1 in 4, has a sexually transmitted disease. They used to call them venereal diseases, but political correctness always has a euphemism for everything. It cuts the bite down. No longer does a person die, they expire. See? They're still dead, amen? Well, if they're unsaved, they are. But that's political correctness. Nothing is as it seems. They have a term for it. They put a spin on it. All right, the theology was presented for the New Age movement long before it ever showed up by Helen Blavatsky, Annie Besant, Alice Bailey, Edgar Cayce, Aleister Crowley, Benjamin Krim, and many, 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 many others, who all they did was accommodate Hindu beliefs and anglicized them and accommodated them into the English, into this culture, into American culture, Western civilization. They took the Hindu religion and they repackaged it and they fed it out to Americans. And that's what they're getting today. That's what you're getting. The New Age movement's nothing in the world more than the old Hindu doctrine of karma and reincarnation and all that goes along with it. And so this Christ consciousness that started in first 100 years after Christ by Cerinthus, who taught that Christ is a spirit, that Jesus Christ and the Christ consciousness and the Christ spirit are two entirely different things. And the Christ consciousness or the Christ spirit came on the man Jesus. He was that for a while, but at the cross it left him. But the same Christ consciousness and Christ spirit can come on you. So no longer does Jesus Christ have his unique identity that he is the only begotten Son of God. That's the biggest roadblock and obstacle for the New Age movement and the movement today, the universal one world religion, is the unique identity of Jesus Christ. And I'll show you later. That's very important. I'll show you how to deal with it. But that's a very important issue. There's no sin preached today. Nobody has to repent. No sin, no Savior, no blood atonement. If you don't preach sin, then you have no Savior, you have no blood atonement. Jesus can be Lord, He can be King, be all these things, however you spin it. But the bottom line is, it's not a Lord you need, it's not a King you need, it's a Savior you need. And once you're saved, you understand what Lordship is. You're not saved by lordship. You're saved by a Savior who came to seek and save that which was lost. Oprah and friends, well-known, well-loved in this country, have nothing personal against her. But starting in January of this year, when her XM radio station, she started a Oprah and Friends, which is nothing in the world more than an evangelistic effort to teach and preach the New Age movement.
Right.
On her website is a direct link to Marianne Williamson. Marianne Williamson is a dyed-in-the-wool New Ager. There's no question about that, folks. No question whatsoever. And if you're read up, if you're read in Scripture, versed in the truth, you'll know in a heartbeat by listening to her and the people that she has on her broadcast and telecast, you know exactly what they're preaching. They're preaching a New Age doctrine. I quoted last week, I'm the Jesus of today's liberal theology of inclusive, politically correct universalism. I'm only a human man. I was not born of a virgin. Nor did I actually rise from the dead. Unfortunately, as a Jewish rabbi, I attracted such devoted followers that even after my death, they wanted to keep my spirit alive, so to speak. So they went and built this elaborate theology around me, which is largely based on the writings of that rascal Paul. Sadly, they ended up making me a god, on and on and on and on and on it goes. What did they do? On the face of it, what have they done? They pitted Jesus Christ against his church, against the body of Christ. That's what they've done. That's a very subtle sinister thing to do that. Mr. Rick Warren, which I have personally nothing against, who is a professed believer in Jesus Christ, has associated himself with notorious New Agers. For example, Ken Blanchard is one. He's had him in to speak in his church and is without question associating himself, surrounding himself with New Age people. This without doubt will affect his theology. It will affect the way he preaches and ministers and what they intend to do. in the future. They are building a kingdom on this earth. Political correctness, if you do a Google on that and do a little internet search on it, you'll pick up Wikipedia. How many's ever heard of Wikipedia? Well, don't put too much stock in Wikipedia. Some of the stuff in there is factual. Some of it's a bunch of garbage. Why do you say that? Because it is not printed by an organization. It is open for anybody to upload whatever information they want to about whatever they want to talk about and appear scholarly. And I've seen a lot of things that are not factual about Wikipedia. But in any event, I got on their web, got on it to see what they had to say about political correctness. Well, they ran me through a little history of it back here and back that, back 1700s, how it's used here and used there, here and there, and this and that, and so forth and so on. Bottom line is, they will not tell you where it came from, because nobody seems to know where it came from. It's an amazing thing, though, how in the last 20 years it's popped up all of a sudden, and that's all you hear. They had even said that the conservatives are the ones who started using it and used it as a football. You know, in other words, they bring it up so it's an issue they can fight. That's the idea with that. Create a controversy so you can gain in the controversy. That's the idea. It's the Hegelian dialect once again. It's the idea, well, here's the thesis. This is what I want, but they won't accept it. So I'll come over here with the antithesis, which is I know they'll not accept. So since they will not accept that, then we can compromise here in the center somewhere, and they'll wind up accepting a compromise which was worse than this in the beginning. They just said the other day that a barrel of crude oil may go to $200. Then they said it could go to $300. If it goes to $300, you'll be paying $9-$10 for a gallon of gasoline. In other words, if you've got a 20-gallon tank, it'll cost you $200 to fill up your tank. That's $800 a month. Most folks run out a tank of gas in a week. Sometimes they'll run out two tanks of gas in a week. If you run out two tanks of gas in a week, it costs you $1,600 just to run your car. Anybody want a horse? An old cowboy said one time, a horse is a man's best friend. This is why they haven't been doing anything the last 20. I don't know if you remember the Arab oil embargo or not, but I do. I was right smack in the middle of it. Oh, they started screaming to high heaven back then about how we need to do something about alternative energy, alternative energy, alternative energy. They didn't do anything.
Right.
You know why they didn't do anything? Because they can control you with oil. That's why. They can't control you with alternative energy. Now, these poor farmers around here are making a little money because they're planting corn. And I'm glad the farmers are making money. I'm all for farmers making money. They're planting corn because they can use the corn to distill it and make ethanol. But you'd think that the engineers by now would be able to make a car engine run purely on ethanol. But it's a mixture of something like 90% gas and 10% ethanol. I used to be a professional automobile mechanic. Ethanol will burn. It'll burn, but the problem is it'll harden your seals. It'll get in there and work all kinds of havoc with your motor. You know, that's why it's a 90-10%. But what happens if they could make it 100% ethanol? What if you could just go out to the farmer and he had his own pump out there, distilled his own ethanol, and plug in and pay him $1.50 a gallon? He'd get rich. Just think of the line of people that would line up to go out to the farmer out there and buy ethanol at $1. How much would you buy it at $1.50 a gallon if it'd run your car? That's a no-brainer. Problem is, he's not a big oil company. He won't get rich they can't get rich like that. When Bear Stearns went under, I don't know if you know it or not, but billions of dollars was lost, and they put on money, CNN Money the other day. They showed about 7 or 8 of the big losers. Most of them lost over $500 million apiece. I didn't know anybody had that kind of money. One billionaire in Great Britain lost $900 million, but he's a multi-billionaire. That means that he just lost part of $1 billion. In other words, he had $100 million left. 1,000 million makes a billion. He lost 900 million left, plus the other billions. And bottom line is that there's some people with a lot of money that are pulling the purse strings and pulling the legislative strings and pulling the policy strings. And the truth is, if people could go out and buy them 4 or 5 acres and raise their own alcohol, raise their own corn and distill it into ethanol, I don't know how much the difference is between ethanol and moonshine. Because moonshine will burn too. You know, I don't know what the difference is. They're both distilled, I guess. But what's that? It's purer, huh? Moonshine is. They arrested some poor boy up here in Greenville the other day. Did you see him? He'd made videos of making moonshine. He'd made videos. Everybody in the country knew him. He's one of the biggest moonshine makers in the whole area up in there. Proud of it, you know. Made videos and sent them out to people. Said, if you don't know how to make moonshine, I'll show you how to make moonshine. Sent his videos out. Problem is, the revenueers got the videos. And went in on him and shut him up. And I think he's up in his 70s and they're going to close him down. He's not going to make any more moonshine. Do you know why they won't let you make moonshine? All right. Do you know why they won't let you make ethanol? I mean, think about it, people. If a bunch of farmers got together and said, we're going to make our own ethanol. It's quite a thing, isn't it? It's called control. Now, don't go out of here and say Preacher Lawson told you it's okay to make moonshine. I didn't do that. I just read. I just observe things. You know what I mean? I sure do. But in any event, the New Age movement's on us. It's not coming. It's here. We've got to deal with it now. And it's something that's... Now, here's the thing. You know the story of the Trojan horse, don't you? You know the story of the Trojan horse. They couldn't defeat them because of their defense. They couldn't breach the wall. So what did they do? They put a horse out the front. They went out and got the horse, carried it inside. And when they carried it inside and shut the gate, why, inside the horse was the enemy. The Trojan horse. All right. That's the problem. You see, Satan will never come at you face on and say, well, now I'm coming to destroy the identity of Jesus Christ. No, 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 no. He'll come on with the idea, well, I'm going to help you understand him in a better, in different light. I'm going to give you this deep, mysterious knowledge of God that you wouldn't understand any other way. Make you, in other words, he appeals to your pride.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
See, I'm smarter than everybody else. I know something about God nobody does. See, it's that idea. And that's exactly the way he works on people. And his tactics haven't changed one bit. That's why the apostle says we're not ignorant of his devices. So when he comes, he will come to present a different Christ, a different Jesus. And that's where the rub lies. All right. Now, I'm indebted to a young lady named Tamara Hartzell. I've done a little research on her. I don't like to quote anybody. I've never heard of her, but I'm doing some research on the web and found this article. And I thought this is good. But first of all, I'm going to check her out, see who this lady is. And I found her connected with Barrett Kios. Now, if she's connected with Barrett Kios, I got no problem because I know her. And she's also recommended by a number of sites on the Internet that are good Christian sites that do research and so forth. So I want to read to you what the new spirituality of the Emerging One Church is. This is the new spirituality of the Emerging One Church. And remember what I told you about that. It's no longer about, are you saved? It's no longer about, do you really believe in Jesus? It's about, I'm spiritual. You ever noticed how that churches today, all they talk about is their worship service? But why do they talk about their worship service? Well, if you're so spiritual, we need spiritual people worshiping. I mean, don't you think temple would be a whole lot better off if we had more spiritual people in here worshiping? That's the idea. And this is what they appeal to. And here's what this lady says, Tamara Hartzell. If the new spirituality's emerging transformation to Christ follower describes you and your beliefs, then no doubt many, if not all, of the following new spirituality beliefs will ring true with you, especially if you can identify with the emerging church movement. I haven't said a lot about that, but it's just a branch of the New Age movement. That's all it is. Every man should be free to worship God in his own way. His own God-illumined mind will search for truth and he'll interpret it for himself. Relevant truth, see? The day of theology is over and that of a living truth is with us. No longer are we bound by the Bible and theology and Scripture. What saith the Scripture? What saith the Lord? That's irrelevant to people. Fact is, they're not even encouraged to read their Bibles today. And I mean, after all, if you've got 500 different Bibles, you can make your choice. Make any difference which one you read. The teaching of Christ is not obsolete and out of date. It needs only to be rescued from the interpretations of the theologies of the past. You see the serpent's tongue? See that? Christ's major task was the establishing of God's kingdom upon earth. Was it really? He showed us the way in which humanity could enter that kingdom. He didn't come to show us the way. The way is found in service to our fellow men. Now, here's what they just said. They said he came to build his kingdom on earth. He came to show us the way into that kingdom. And the way into that kingdom is by serving one another. Notice, no new birth, no salvation, no blood atonement. But that's slick. If you've never studied the Bible, if you have no real scriptural background, that appeals to you. Because it's a challenge to you as an individual to manifest your spirituality. Look how spiritual I am. We're going to help people. And so forth and so on. The need is for vision, wisdom, and that wide tolerance, that's a buzzword, which will see divinity on every hand and recognize the Christ in every human being. See, the Christ. Remember what I said about the Christ? The Christ, the Christ. What are you talking about when you say the Christ? Are you talking about some devil came out of hell? Are you talking about the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ is the God of the universe. He is the absolute supreme sovereign there is. I don't care about the Christ. You say those are dogmatic statements. They're statements of a believer that believes Jesus Christ is the judge of everything. And there is salvation in none other. And His name is exalted above every name. And it's not about how good you can be and serve anybody. It's about whether you find yourself as a condemned sinner without hope before God. And the only way you can be saved is by the finished work at Calvary when He shed His blood. Now, what I just said to you, every preacher that preached any pulpit, 90% of them, 75 years ago, preached the same thing in this country. And you grew up hearing that kind of preaching. But it's changing today. It's all changing. Watch this. Christian people, and the word Christian people, of course, Christian people are to recognize their place within a worldwide divine revelation. Watch this now. And see Christ as representing all the faiths and taking His rightful place as world teacher. He is the world teacher and not a Christian teacher. They may not call Him Christ, remember what Mr. Warren said, but they have their own name for Him and follow Him as truly and faithfully as their Western brethren. Now digest that for a moment. Just think that through. Would you believe that this kind of garbage that's coming out? I mean, here it is. Here's the way it works. All right, now I believe that, okay? And I'm going to say I believe that. I don't believe it, but I'm going to say I'm a preacher that believes it. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to get up and say that to you. I'm going to fashion my messages around presenting that kind of idea and thought to you, see? I'm going to underhandedly tear down your foundations and rebuild you in a different image. This is the way it's done. To cause you to think globally. And how, well, you know, there are many things that we do agree with. I mean, after all, didn't one of them say last week, there's much we can learn from a Buddhist? Remember I told you that? By the way, you know who the Dalai Lama is? He's Buddha. He's Buddha reincarnated. He's the supreme religious leader of Tibet. And do you know what's happening right now between China and Tibet? All right. Do you know why? The reason for that is because Tibet considers itself to be an independent, sovereign country. All right. China says, no, you belong to us, just like Formosa, or it's called Taiwan now, belongs to Red China. And Red China, the reason we call it Red is because it's communist China, says that we will take back Taiwan and we're going to hold on to Tibet. And the bottom line is that When it comes to the time of the Antichrist, they're all going to give up their sovereignty to the great world teacher. Listen to this. The Christ has no religious barriers in His consciousness. It matters not to Him of what faith a man may call himself. The Christ has been for 2,000 years the supreme head of the church invisible, composed of disciples of all faiths. He cares not what the faith is, If the objective is love of God and of humanity. Sounds good. See? Love God. I mean, what's wrong with loving God? And loving humanity and doing humanitarian works. These new spirituality beliefs are bringing humanity and its religions together in interfaith unity. They are foundational to the emerging one church, the universal religion of the new world, which is indeed widely desired and worked for in both the world and today's Christianity. Religions, though diverse in their theologies and forms of worship, and though differing in their methods of application of truth, are united in three basic aspects. When men recognize this and succeed in isolating that inner significant structure of truth, which isn't the same in all climes and all races, then there will emerge the universal religion, the one church, and that unified, though not uniform, approach to God. Today, slowly, the concept of a world religion and the need for its emergence are widely desired and worked for. The fusion of faiths is now a field for discussion. Workers in the field of religion will formulate the universal platform of the new religion. It is a work of loving synthesis. There's Hegel.
Yep.
A loving synthesis, and will emphasize the unity and the fellowship of the Spirit. This group is, in a pronounced sense, a channel for the activities of the Christ, the world teacher, so forth and so on. This church, now let me read this. The churches in the West need also to realize that basically there is only one church, but it is not necessarily only the Orthodox Christian institution. This, the church, has hindered down through the centuries, and it's not helped because of its fanatical zeal to make Christians of all peoples and not followers of the Christ. It has emphasized theological doctrine and not love and loving understanding as Christ exemplified it. That's their teaching. That's their method. They're pitting the Christ against the Church of God. That's a slick thing. Now, let me explain something that's very simple. Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's the most important statement made in the New Testament. You know why? As far as it relates to man's salvation. You know why? Because it says you must be born again. You see, saved can come in a lot of different forms. If you just simply use the term salvation, that can be understood in many different ways. And the fact of the matter is, in the New Testament, salvation is used in many different ways. It certainly is. Salvation of your testimony, salvation of your life, salvation of your brethren, salvation of a country, salvation of a thing, salvation of the individual soul. All these things, salvation comes in these forms. But new birth, you must be born again. That's an issue. Nicodemus said, well, how can this be? And he explained it carefully. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You're here today, or you wouldn't have been born of the flesh.
Amen.
That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be born of the Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We are spiritually dead till we're born again.
Amen.
Now, how am I born again? That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's how you're born again. That's how you're born again. What spirit? Man's spirit? No. You must be quickened by the power of the Holy Ghost. You must receive God's very life into your soul. That which is born, you must be born again, they remind us, literally means or refers to thou must be born from above. Born of God. The new birth is not joining a church. The new birth is not observing the commandments of God. That's fine, but that's not the new birth. The new birth is not which church you belong to. The new birth is not whether you were baptized as an infant. The new birth is not whether you came under a covenant relationship, as those folks up there in Hammond or other up in Holland, Michigan believe, because mom and daddy's a Christian, their children are automatically Christian. No, they're not. That's covenant theology. That's covenant relationship. No, it's not. John 1, he said, which were not born of blood. That's what that's talking about. Or the flesh. Or the will of man. but they're born of God. The new birth is a mystical or mysterious birth that takes place when an individual, by saving faith, has received into their heart and soul the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it must be done individually. It must be done at some time and place here on this earth. You must be born again. You're not automatically saved because you're born. You're not automatically saved because you're part of a church. You don't grow up being a Christian. Being a Christian is not all the stuff you were taught as a child where you can say, well, I've always believed in Jesus all my life. I've never known a time when I didn't love Jesus. That's not the new birth. This is why our forefathers, who are a lot smarter than we are, believe that children, that you teach children to love the Lord, teach children to believe in the Lord until that child matures to the point to where it understands that believing in the Lord is far more than just believing what my Sunday school teacher taught me and some facts about Him. That believing in the Lord becomes a very personal relationship that they have because they have sinned against God. Salvation, therefore, becomes a personal thing. It can't be any more personal. Nothing can be any more personal on this earth than a person's salvation, the new birth. That's what we preach. We're not new with that. We're simply picking up the tail end of what's been preached for 2,000 years and preaching it till the Lord comes to get us. We ain't preaching anything new. We're not preaching anything new. All these new age of Aquarius, purpose-driven, all this garbage, that's all new. What we are preaching is the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The apostle said to earnestly contend for. Now, you like the way they use the word love. They spin it. Love to them is what they can see with their eyes and understand in a natural sense that is done physically for somebody. That's love to these people. But if you are a Bible believer and you believe that Bible, when it talks about the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You believe the Bible when it says, whosoever name was not found written, the book of life was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. You believe that Bible when it says, it's better for you to pluck an eye out than to be cast into hell fire. You believe that Bible when it says there's one judge of mankind. Amen. Then if you really believe it and you don't tell people, you don't love anybody. It's love that motivates you to tell the truth. You see, I have to say to that crowd, your understanding of love and my understanding of love is two entirely different things. We don't see it the same way. We don't see it the same way. You have redefined love in a carnal mind and in a carnal sense and then applied it to the Bible. Now let's look at a couple of things about Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is not who He said He was, and He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. If He's not who He said He was, and He's who they say He is, then the Bible is a useless. Fact is, it's worse than useless. It is a deceptive thing that literally turns you against humanity. It does. It does. You are unacceptable. You're rejected. You can't live in your culture because of what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. If you reject what it says, if it's not true, then you have believed a book that has filled you full of lies and brainwashed you.
Right.
You see, Jesus. You see, every other god and all the other religions can all accommodate each other because they're all relativistic.
Right.
They're all relativistic.
Yes, sir.
But Jesus Christ is unique in the sense that nobody comes to the Father but by Him.
Amen.
Nobody. Nobody. That's narrow. Nobody. You can't do it. There's no way. All right? And here's the thing that I have witnessed in my life, and I'm sure you've witnessed it in your life, and if you've lived any time, you've seen it time and time again. You've seen the words of the Bible proven true in the lives of people.
Amen.
To watch, to observe somebody being born again is the most remarkable thing you'll ever see.
Amen.
There's nothing like it. The new birth is the most remarkable thing you'll ever see and experience in this world. There's nothing like it. And yet the churches in this town are full of people who are just as religious as they can be. And as they think they are spiritual, super spiritual, and they've never been born again. Now, how many of you this morning would agree with me, Satan's smart? He didn't do this overnight, but he's smart. The New Age movement has morphed itself into this new spirituality, into these purpose-driven worship centers, mega churches, full of people who think everything is just hunky-dory because they worship God and they serve people and they're proud of their spirituality. Now try witnessing to somebody like that. Try witnessing to them. They're already brainwashed. You can't say anything to them about their salvation, about sinner, about being a sinner. Sin's a non-issue. These people can go to church on Sunday and they can worship God in their super spiritual state and fornicate Monday night. You think I'm kidding you? They can do it. They're doing it all the time. Do you know why? Nothing is sin to them. This is part of their identity. This is the way they show love.
Yeah.
It's the kind of life people are living. It's wicked. It's godless. And I hope that through all this stuff that I've covered, tried to cover all this, and I mean, I've been through some stuff with you. We'll pick up again next week. That I've alerted you to a lot that lot you have to deal with. We got a minute or so here. Does anybody have a question? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God will give them a strong delusion. Absolutely. I mean, if you can't see that, I mean, this is only the religious part of it I've been dealing with. I talked about the political part before this. I talked about the military part before that. This is only the religious. This is just one branch of it. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
She wants to show how if the criminal aspect was taken out of it, and since the United States now is so diversified,
right,
it should be a more accepted way of living.
Right.
She was interviewing these plural families, and you know, there was nothing that they were given, no biblical aspect
no.
for their living whatsoever.
Bible's not a standard.
It was a lifestyle.
Yeah. Must have married some rich women then, huh? Maybe the government's got a subsidy for that. Who knows? She wanted to shed new light on it. She becomes the source and authority of new life. I thought I might leave this with you to make you really mad. I just want to get your blood boiling. They have introduced, I don't know if it was foreign, European, or what, but you know the financial mess we're in right now. All right. You know the financial bubble. Do you know what flipping is? Buy a house even before it's built, turn around and sell it. 2 or 3 months later, buy it for $200,000, sell it for $300,000. Make $100,000, bang, just like that, okay? All right, people were doing that over and over and over and over and over again. And I mean, it fed itself and it began to blow up and blow up and blow up. A lot of people made a lot of money. How many really believe that? A lot of people made a lot of money. A lot of people made millions. All right, they're going to bail them out. They're going to bail out the housing industry, and they've got an idea about how to do it. And you know how they're going to pay for it? Yes. No. You. They're going to tax you. I've got an idea. Since every transfer of property is recorded, why not go back and deal with the people that made all those millions and let them pay? How many agree with that? Don't you think that'd be fair? That's too simple. Government never do anything like that. They're going to make taxpayers pay for it. That ought to inspire you for the rest of the day. Oh, me. Brother, dismiss us, would you please?
Father, in Jesus' name.